The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
The death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, for the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great rivers, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now take note of verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Then Joshua commanded the officers and the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. And on and on and on and on. I'm preaching on a message titled, Be Strong and of Good Courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. You would notice that this expression was used in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1, where the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. This same expression was repeated in verse 7, saying, only be thou strong and very courageous. Then in verse 9, it was again repeated. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. When you drop down to verse 18, that's the last verse of the chapter, and you look at part B, again, there's a repetition over there. The latter part says, only be strong and of good courage. So in one chapter, this expression is repeated, or we come across it 4 times, which means that this statement must have a certain significance. Otherwise, there would have been no need for the writer, who was inspired by the Spirit of God, to have mentioned it so many times. So I'm also mentioning it to you. Be strong and of a good courage. Say amen to that. I say the second time, be strong and of a good courage. Say a bigger amen. Oh, don't let me ask you to say amen. Number three, be strong and of a good courage. And finally, be strong and of a good courage. Sometimes life is not that simple and smooth. Sometimes life is not that pleasant and easy. Sometimes life can be full of challenges, hardships, and difficulties. These challenges sometimes can be so overwhelming that they can make you fearful and discouraged. It was exactly what happened to Israel. And because God does not want it to happen to us, this part of scripture was documented, so we know what to do, so we don't repeat the errors of the Israelites. The passage we just read makes reference to circumstances that were facing Joshua as well as the entire congregation of Israel. The first point I'd like for you to take note of is, for 40 years under the leadership of Moses and through the wilderness, Israel had faced one hardship after the other. Had it not been for the intervention of the Most High, they would have perished in the wilderness. The second point I'd like for you to take note of is, now Moses, who was the leader, who bore some grace and who would call upon God to bring intervention to the people of Israel, was dead. So the second point is that Moses was now dead, and Joshua was to take over the leadership of Israel. The challenges ahead were quite daunting. The challenges ahead were quite intimidating. They were quite discouraging, if I must tell you. And you have a difficult congregation that gave Moses a tough time. And suddenly Moses, with all his charisma, with all his power by which he opened the Red Sea and changed the waters of Marah into sweetness and prayed to God that manna was provided and their enemies were defeated one after the other until they had come to this point, this Moses was no longer around. So Joshua was going to lead this difficult congregation in the wilderness period in difficult times. In addition to that, they had a river to cross. The river was the Jordan. And Moses had done it successfully with some ease, gotten the waters of the Red Sea to be parted to two. And Israel went on the dry ground from one side to the other, and their enemies were defeated and drowned in the Red Sea. Now it was the turn of Joshua to lead the people to cross the Jordan. Now, the Jordan was not the only problem. After the Jordan was Canaan. And Canaan was a fortified city, had walls surrounding it. And the top of the wall was so wide, it was said 7 horses could ride abreast on top of it. Which means it was a really thick wall, impenetrable defense. And there was no way in the natural that they were going to break through. Apart from that, behind the wall were a nation that had been established for so many years. And this nation had excelled in warfare. And they had been blessed with some strange human persons who were of the giant's order. In other words, they were not normal human beings. They were 9 feet tall and beyond. Some of them had 6 fingers and 6 toes on each arm. So you had an uphill task. The congregation, number one, to lead. Number two, crossing the Jordan. Number three, the walls of Jericho. And number four, you had to face the giants in the land with a well-established army. All these things seemed like they were conspiring against Israel from entering the promised land. But remember, it was the same God who had promised Israel that he would give that place to them. Did God know that these obstacles were in the way? Yes. Was God aware that the congregation was difficult? Yes. Was he aware that there was a Jordan to cross? Yes. Was he also aware that there was an impregnable wall? Yes. And was he aware that there was a well-established army among the Canaanites who looked gigantic and very tall and huge? Yes. In spite of all these things, he told them to go possess the land. Ladies and gentlemen, I have good news for you. What challenges you are facing where you are is not new to God. When he told you he will bless you, he knew there was opposition. When he told you he will bless you, he knew there will be frustration along the way. But it was the same God who said, "Be strong and be of good courage. For just as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Just as I crossed the Red Sea with Moses, I will cross the Jordan with you." Oh, can I hear an amen from somebody? Just as I defeated some of the other nations along the way, the same way will I defeat the Canaanites and break down their wall and give the land to you. Only be thou not discouraged, but be encouraged. And don't be discouraged by reason of what you are hearing or reason of what you are seeing. Only be strong and be of good courage. Can somebody clap to acknowledge the word to the glory of God? I'll come back to elaborate on it. But I want to paint another picture in the same line as we go to John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33, Gospel according to St. John. Now, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. However, in the world you will experience tribulation, but adopt the right attitude, adopt the right mental frame, adopt the right understanding, be of good cheer, not bad cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world, I have conquered the world. Another expression is that I have been victorious over the world. I've had the upper hand over the world. And my victory I give to you. What does the word tribulation mean? Tribulation refers to that which causes great suffering, troubles, distress resulting from oppression or persecution. There are some circumstances, whether they come from the devil or man, they are designed to cause great suffering. They cause great troubles, cause great distress. And these things result from oppression or persecution. The scriptures abound with example of men and women who went through some extreme suffering for the sake of the gospel. One of them was Stephen. Stephen preached the word, and they couldn't resist his wisdom. So they arrested him and stoned him to death. The second person was Paul. Paul also preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was arrested. He was thrown into jail for no offense committed. Sometimes he was beaten to the point of death till his disciples rescued him and took him to the next city. If you come to Jeremiah, he was beaten up and thrown into a cistern like an empty well and kept there for a number of days so that he would learn sense. Elijah was persecuted by Jezebel and he had to run for his dear life. Our Master Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary just at age 33. Jesus said, "In this world you will have great troubles. In this world you will have sufferings. In this world you will have distressing conditions resulting from satanic oppression and persecution by men. However, there is a certain biblical attitude to adopt in order to counteract what the enemy intends to do against you. That is not a time to be depressed. That is not a time to be discouraged. That is not a time to complain. That is not a time to throw up your arms in despair. That is not a time to lose faith." What does the expression "be of good cheer" mean? Be of good cheer means never lose heart. Secondly, it means don't give up. Thirdly, it means be brave and courageous. So never lose heart. Be strong in your belief. Never lose heart. Never bow to the circumstances. Keep your confidence. Don't give up. Be brave. When it gets tough, be tough. When it gets tougher, be much more tough. Be courageous and face it. I like the way the Amplified Version brings out "be of good cheer." It says, "Be undaunted, be confident, and take courage." When a person is undaunted, you are not fearful. You don't look into the future with the prospect of being defeated. You don't look into the future with the prospect of not achieving. You don't look into the future with the prospect of being embarrassed or put to shame, that you become a laughing stock and a proverb and a byword. No. You don't have to see the results before you get happy. Ah. You have to be happy before you see the results. So the condition on the ground should not determine your mood. The word of God must determine how you feel. And the word of God must determine how you respond. So be undaunted. Be confident. Take courage. So now let's come back to Joshua chapter 1. The expression, which is the title of today's message, is be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. What does it mean to be strong? If God is saying be strong, it means you can be weak. If God is saying be strong, it means you can get to a place where you can be disturbed and confused. So he says be strong. What does it mean? It means put yourself together. You see, when you find a person who is fearful, it's like the person has been scattered. The joy is lying in one place. Peace is lying in another place. Faith is dwindling somewhere else. And as for hope, is in the distance. But when the Bible says, oh, can I hear an amen? When the Bible talks about the expression that we are now explaining, which has to be strong, it means put yourself together. Tell the next person, put yourself together. You see, when a person is confused, it's as if the person were scattered and the person doesn't know what to do. The person doesn't know where to start from. You know, in an examination room, when a person has taped some topics and studied alongside those topics, and then the lecturer's questions swerved the candidate, you notice that the candidate is not his or herself and begins to panic in the room, and the thoughts are scattered and cannot write much. How many know what I'm talking about? Those people, if it's a 3-hour paper, within 20 minutes they are finished. Because their thoughts are scattered, they can't organize themselves. Be strong means bind yourself together. Hold yourself together. Don't allow circumstances to make you drift. Don't allow circumstances to disintegrate your confidence. It also means fasting up, like buckle up. You see, when you're driving and you have your seat belt buckled up, what happens is that if there was any event of an accident, that seat belt is supposed to keep you fixed. The car may somersault, but the seat belt is supposed to help you so your head does not hit the roof. So what the Bible is saying is that bind yourself together, hold yourself together, and buckle up. So be strong. Tell the next person, be strong. Now tell 3 other people around you. Tell them, be strong. Even if you can't get a third person, get up and go and tell the third person something. But tell the person, be strong. Fasting up. Put yourself together. Bind. Hold yourself together and buckle up. The second expression to be explained in Joshua 1 is, and be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be of good courage means be stout. Stand where you are. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Don't be moved by the negativities of life. Only be moved by the word of God. If it's not God, don't move. Good courage also means be bold. Now, all the scripture is saying that sometimes life may be ferocious like a lion or a bulldog. But even when the when life is ferocious and the enemy is coming against you, focus on your God and focus on the word of God and be preoccupied with the thought of victory until victory is granted to you. If you saw Goliath standing there, he was like a ferocious animal, shouting and disdaining the God of Israel. And for 40 days, nobody could be raised to face him. When David came on the scene, he rehearsed the victories he had in time past. And he focused on his God. And he focused on his word. And he became preoccupied with the victory that God was to give him. Satan has a way of making you slide out of confidence by making you focus on the problem, the magnitude of the problem, the fact that the problem is bigger than anybody, and none of your forebears, none of your great grandfathers and fathers and grandfathers were able to deal with it. Then you are saying in your heart, who am I to deal with it? But David was just 17 when he faced Goliath. If God is on your side, you are the majority. And if God is on your side, who can be against you? They may congregate against you, but God is not lending his support to them. May God be on your side always, as long as you stand on the word of God. Shout a very good amen to God's glory. So all the scripture is saying is that, do not be afraid, not terrified because of the enormity of the opposition. Do not tremble because of how big the project looks or how colossal the opposition is. Do not be discouraged because of lack of finances involved in the project that you are undertaking. One day, a little tribe in Israel woke up, Judah, and to their surprise, they saw three nations who had plotted to come and finish with them. You see, these things were written for you and I, so we will learn out of them. We cannot carry the Bible and learn nothing out of it. We are supposed to take the attitude of courage and faith that is in the word and apply to our lives. So your life is supposed to be preceded with meditation. That's why God said that you must meditate on this day and night, and you must observe to do all that is written in this book. Then it says that it is then that God will make your way prosperous and give you good success. But before then, he said, be of good courage. And after then, he said, be of good courage. Because he knows that the challenges ahead are not small. The challenges ahead can make somebody palpitate in the heart, can make someone's blood pressure shoot high, and can make someone collapse, and the unexpected may happen. God forbid that on your behalf. So God has cautioned us and warned us not to be surprised at some strange attacks. Are you hearing me? And to get the loins of our mind and to face it, because we are well able to face it. Three nations against one small tribe. They fasted and they prayed under the leadership of the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. And as they did so, they had a prophetic word. Will you seek the face of God when you have challenges? Or you will sit and pity party and worry and be disturbed when you have such weapons in your mouth that Ephesians 3:20, for God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which you ask or think according to the power that works in you. Would you sit down and act like you have no power? Or would you get up and pray in the spirit on end until intervention comes to you? They prayed and they heard a prophetic word. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed by reason of their number. For the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. If you are not sleeping and having sleepless nights, I have come to you to tell you that the battle is not yours. Oh, can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? If you feel like life is not worth living and you are behaving in such a way that you will die early, I prophesy to you, you won't die early. May God add many more decades to your life. You won't die now. You won't die. You won't die. You won't die now. You won't die. So don't be fearful, nor be dismayed by reason of their numbers. For the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. And God said that I will fight for you. Can you clap for the Most High God? Because He has already started fighting for you. He started fighting for you before you were conceived in the womb of your mother. The Bible says Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. So before Adam was made, the blood of Jesus had already been shed. When Adam fell, the blood had supernaturally been shed. God was waiting for a time when He would say, who shall I send? And who will go? And Jesus will respond. And He will go to Calvary's cross and die and be buried and rise again out of the grave and be seated at the right hand of the Father. I am telling you, He said, it is finished, Tetelestai, on the cross before He went. So this is not the time for you to act as if God was deceiving you. Do not be afraid nor terrified because of the enormity of the opposition. Do not tremble because of how big the project or opposition is. And do not be discouraged because of the financial, commitment involved. The word discouraged means to break down. To break down. The word discouraged means to prostrate. You know, when there's a war and one party sees they are losing, and so they decide to surrender. Sometimes they go on their knees and they raise up their hands. Sometimes they prostrate, they put their guns aside and lay flat. To be discouraged means to lay flat before your problems. It's a terrible thing in the sight of God. That's why God wiped away a whole generation. Because instead of bowing and prostrating before God, you are bowing before some small financial problem. You are bowing before some matrimonial challenge. Bowing before some business issues. How can you bow? The Hebrews in captivity said, we will not bow. Will not bow to the image that is made. And they refused to bow. They did not break down. They were not discouraged. They did not prostrate. The word discouraged, thirdly, means to be confused. It means you don't know what to do. And fourthly, to be discouraged means to be fearful. Do not run away in the time of battle. And do not wish you died. Do not be depressed and do not act faithless, but look at the testimony of the men of old in the Bible who were faced with circumstances such as yours. Men like Gideon, after their generation was beset by Midianites who will come in multitudes like grasshoppers and bully them and take away their produce and destroy the remnant. Do not be afraid nor terrified because of the enormity of the opposition. Do not run away. The Bible talks about Ephraim in the book of Psalms, how they were armed to the teeth, but when it was battle time, they ran away. The Bible said, be of good cheer. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. It says, be strong and be of good courage. You can be of bad courage. I remember a boxing bout. I think it was Floyd Clute Robertson, a Ghanaian who was a national featherweight champion. And he became the West African champion. Attempted the world title and he didn't succeed. And he had a particular bout to fight. I mean, that fight was touted in his days as one of the best pound-to-pound fights. You can Google and watch it. The guy would hit his South American opponent and that Cuban would hit him back hard. Floyd Clute Robertson. But in one bout, I remember, it was so tough. And during the interval, after one particular round, he went to his seat. And the bell was rung so that he would come out and fight. And his response was surprising. It was captured in the front page of Daily Graphic and said, Mia. So he didn't go back into the ring to fight. He sat in his corner and the referee declared the fight in favor of his opponent. God is not training us that in the day of battle we get up and say, Mia. Ubaya. Tell the next person, you will go. Whether you have a cut on your forehead or you are bleeding in your gum, you will go. You will go to face the enemy. Somebody say, Obaya. Tell the person, Obaya. I'm not hearing. Say, I heard somebody from the back. I want to hear you. Say, Obaya. Obaya. Ah. And because of that, you are so angry and annoyed. You are not going to church. Sit at home. You won't die now. If you don't take care, you will let the enemy punish you. And you won't die now. You will live long. So don't be like the Ephraimites, who in the day of battle, although the Lord armed them, they turned away from the battle. That's bad courage. The Bible said, be strong and of good courage. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Some are strong in their country. They are strong in the passport of their country. Nothing wrong. But the only problem is when you are not strong in the Lord. Some are strong as long as they are working. But when they leave work, because of retirement, they are no longer strong. You have to be stronger even after retirement. Some of you are only strong in your father, only strong in your mother. Till the Lord calls them to glory, then you find that they are not strong. Because they have covered you, which was their responsibility, provided for everything, even two cars they give to you, give you a house, everything they covered you. And then when there were no more, you couldn't face life. That's not what God is calling us to. Be strong. Sister, be strong. You may shed some tears, but wipe your face and study the word. Don't let the tears blur your eyes that you cannot see the truth in the word of God. Don't let the tears obscure your thoughts that you cannot think beyond now and see this victory ahead. Don't let sorrow overwhelm you that you sit at one place like Israel, who sat by the rivers of Babylon. There they wept when they remembered Zion. Remember, there is another victory for you. God will lead us from victory unto victory. He will lead his army. Cry small, but wipe your tears and get up. You are not clapping like people who are strong. I want strong clapping. I don't want bodo clapping. Yes. Clap like soldiers of Christ. Don't. Be strong. You just have to be stubborn. About 15 years ago, you know, then HIV/AIDS, people could not come out publicly. And there was this gentleman who came to the university where I was working to speak to the students so that they'll live a good moral life and take good care of themselves. And he spoke about how he led a loose life until he contracted HIV/AIDS. And he says, as he's speaking to us, the virus was in him. And he said, Emuawanu timimu. Nase omwa base omunimbi betnanu mini wom betnapa. In other words, I've contracted the virus. And if this virus says it has come to stay, then me and this virus, we will contest and we will see the winner. Uni wo background demons. Muntinapa. Rise and face them. Deal with them. Gideon faced them. Gideon challenged them. He sought strength from God. Don't be a lazy Christian expecting a victory which you haven't sought God for. Don't be a lazy Christian saying that you prayed 20 years ago, 5 years ago, and you haven't seen the result. Get back to action. Pray today as if yesterday's prayer was nothing. Pray tomorrow as if today's prayer was nothing. And keep on keeping on until the answer arrives. Are you clapping for the Lord or clapping for yourself? When preachers stand, you think they don't face the same health issues. You think their family members don't face the same health issues. You think they don't face the same financial issues. You think they don't face the same accommodation issues. You think they don't face the same academic issues. You think they don't face the same social issues and the criticisms and being misunderstood by men and the gossips against you, and you feel you are the only person. Pastors are human beings. But they have had to pass through that so that they won't preach theoretical messages. That what they have experienced, they will, through the word of God and his wisdom and the grace of God, communicate to you. So that you would know where you are is a victorious ground. As long as you have breath in your nostrils, you can fight till you see the day of celebration. I said there's a day of celebration ahead. There's a day of glorification ahead. There's a day of coronation ahead. Rise up. Why do we read about Isaac? Who went to Isaac and went to Sitna and went eventually to Rehoboth? He dug a well and they took it from him. It's just like starting a business and somebody takes over the business. It's just like starting some project and somebody takes over the project and you have nothing. Isaac moved on and he dug another well. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And they took it for the second time and he went ahead and dug another. He looked for a place that this time it was Rehoboth, which means the Lord has enlarged me. This is the place which shall be my headquarters. Oh, come on, come on. Tell the next person your headquarters is around the corner. Your headquarters. So when you hear this prayer meeting, don't sit at home. You waste 1 hour for nothing. Waste 1 hour for nothing. Waste 2 hours for nothing. You waste your own time for nothing. And the year is ending. When the year starts on January 1st, it is ending. 364 one quarter days. But the following day is left with 363 one quarter days. And the year is ending. Tell the next person, the year is ending. So you can't be hoping and hoping. You hope last year didn't work. Then you are still hoping. Change the game plan. Change the strategy. Add some more something to this year's. Study the word more. Meditate on the word. So God was telling Joshua, Joshua, if you will win, then you need to meditate on my word, because it is the word that will make you strong. It is the word that will establish you. It is the word that will not make you move, because the enemy is putting pressure on you, and Satan attacks by pressure. He will put pressure on you, but we win battles by putting pressure against him and he retracts. So when you are praying, you are putting pressure on the devil, and God is releasing grace to answer your prayers. If you believe these two things are happening in your favor, why don't you give it all to God? Oh, come on, let it be a big shout. Now, later on in Joshua's life, now we're moving from Joshua chapter 1 to Joshua chapter 10. Later on in Joshua's life, in chapter 10, verse 25, some five kings decided to become, so they became the allied nation with allied forces. And they decided to attack Israel because they had entered into a covenant with Gibeonites. And the Bible says they looked at the track record of Israel and saw they were winning all their battles and Jehovah was with them. So they got intimidated and decided to attack Israel. So they will finish them. Joshua sought the face of God. And in that battle, it continued until God extended time. And he caused the sun and the moon to stand still so that Israel will see their enemies in the light and deal with them. The Bible says the five kings ran away after their people were defeated and they went to hide in a cave. Joshua and his men went to the nearby town, dealt with all of them, and they rolled some stone against the mouth of the cave. And when they were ready, they brought these kings out. And the Bible says they asked them to lay on the ground and they place their legs on top of their neck. Listen to me. The devil is under your feet. And since Jesus defeated him on Calvary's cross, your leg is on his neck. Your feet are on his neck. And Joshua said, so let's go to Joshua chapter 10 and read. This is what he told them. He told them, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. be strong and of good courage. It has come back. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies. Joshua said, this victory was wrought by my hand. But now I'm transferring the victory into your life. Oh, come on, can I hear an amen? I'm bringing the victory into your personal life, your individual life. Shout amen and receive somebody. He said, now this victory is transferred from the national domain to the personal domain. And he says, if you're also strong and of good courage, then you will have your foot over the neck of your greatest and smallest enemies. Shout amen on end, somebody. The precondition for receiving the miracle is be strong. Tell somebody, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. When you listen to the corner of boxers and sometimes wrestlers and other things, you hear the encouragement. The guy was knocked down twice in the previous round. He looked tired and dazed, but has a short respite to recover. They are blocking the flow of blood from the eyebrows, and they are wiping the person and say, go back and fight. Give him a left upper hook. But if you look at this boxer's face, it is swollen as if the eyes would drop to the ground. Then somehow they said, look, this is the final round. Maybe it's a 10-round contest, but it's a 7th round. He said, this is the final round. In other words, when you get there, find the wicked blow and land on him to nullify all the points and the wins he had gathered in the first 6 rounds. The Lord has sent me to tell you, go back and give an uppercut blow to the enemy. Go back and declare the word. Go back and stand strong. Go back and don't be discouraged. In 1 Chronicles 28:20, David repeated the same thing to his son, Solomon. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong, and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord, even my God, will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of God. I will say something controversial, but may even God forgive me. It's not everybody who dies who has finished his work. Tell the next person, you must finish your work well. You must finish your work. This thing of resigning and not doing anything and waiting for the sweet by and by and for the chariots of God to come and take you because you are tired. No, no, no. Be strong. Be strong. Sister, be strong. Be strong. He may have jilted you and left you in the cold, but be strong, sister. Cry small, but pick up yourself. Bind yourself together. Be of good courage, not bad courage. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So David spoke the same thing to Solomon. God spoke it to Joshua. Joshua spoke it to Israel. And David to Solomon. In other words, don't be confused. Don't break down. Don't prostrate to adversity. Don't be fearful. And don't be discouraged by reason of the enemies, or by reason of the bad medical report, or by reason of the challenging court case, or by reason of age and childbirth issues, or by reason of the amount of money involved in the project. Can I prophesy to some people, those who are ready to receive? some of you who are near 60 and beyond 60, you will receive grace to build another house. Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe in this issue of, you know, when you're working in a place, hey, this car I bought is a pension car. I don't believe in that kind of thinking. If you went on pension at 60 and you live till 85, can that car survive for 25 years? That's why you see some cars on the road that you find that their roadworthiness even needs to be inspected with another roadworthiness. How can you say that you have bought your clothing for retirement? And when you were working, you used to be huge. Now you are growing. Doctor says you must keep fit. So you have trimmed down completely. So from size waist 40, you are now waist 36. And you want to wear the waist 40 trousers. It will be the Aurora kind of trousers. You want to wear that coat. It will be Atale John Joe on you. Tell the next person, there's no pension car. You can be blessed with a car for pension, but it's not your pension car. Oh, somebody must clap. I said, God will bless you before your pension, during your pension, and even after your pension. Ah, come on. The Lord will bless you. He who has begun with you will lead you to a successful end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He will not leave you in a midstream encounter. God says your latter end must be more glorious than your former. You must look better when you are aging. This year we say we are winning. What's the theme of the year? Experiencing divine success. So I can't preach to you a do-do-do-do message. You see, when we're young, we love soccer. Oh, I love soccer. And we used to play. And sometimes you find a strong team. Instead of going to look for another strong team to defeat in the neighborhood, they'll go and look for some small team that doesn't really matter. They have no pedigree. That's called the do-do-do-do team. I'm a bear wale. I'm a lenukunukunuku. And then you defeat the do-do-do-do team and then you say hallelujah. The bigger team is waiting for you. Caleb said, I was 40. Then, now I'm 85. Is there any land that is not yet conquered that I may go and conquer at 85? Tell the next person, you'll be doing wonders to the glory of God. Come on, clap. You to clap with some energy, enthusiasm, zeal, power. I love your sister. May God bless you. Mean your job. Wow. Bon. Hey, come on, clap. Hey. When we go to the woods to pray, we have a few seats. When you are tired, you sit down. But I take it as my exercise. So if I'm not tired, I don't sit down. Because I need to walk for my heart to be more strengthened. You are not exercising. Every time you get up, you sit where you are. Because you are not hoping to go far. You must be strong physically. You must be strong emotionally. You must be strong spiritually. You must be strong psychologically. You must be strong mentally. You must be strong socially. You must be strong financially. You must be strong writing checks for your children and relatives at age 80. I was talking to one of our pastors, Reverend Asante, who has lost a father-in-law. And he says, my father-in-law is more than 80. But the man was the breadwinner for the house at that age. The people in his household plus the extended family. Because the man was a contractor and he was strong until just a wind blew and took him away. May your testimony be bigger than that to God's glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop defeating yourself in your mind. Stop meditating on the wrong things. Stop acting as if the world has come to an end. Stop being fearful. Stop the negative talk. Ask. So Christ died. And if Christ died, you mean he cannot provide you with 200 CDs, which is not yet equal to $100? Oh, come on. Christ died for the world. You mean Christ cannot provide you with 500 CDs? Then why did he die? Then it's better he didn't die. Christ can provide 1 million. And let those who are clapping receive. Christ can provide 1 billion. Christ can provide 1 trillion for the church and for the people of God. Christ can cater for you according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm talking more confidently now than when it was years back. Because now I have nothing to lose. I have everything to gain. And I have everything to believe God for. Nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. If I declare the word and it doesn't work, then it's between me and God. But God's word does not fail. Just as the rain cometh down from above and returneth not from whence it came. Just as snow cometh down from above and returneth not from whence it came, so are my words which are sent out. For they will not return impotent nor void, but they will go out to accomplish the very purpose for which it was sent out. The grass may wither, the flower may fade, but his word will abide forever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will honor you when you stake your life on his word. God will honor you when you boast on his word. He will be there. In conclusion, Psalm 27 says, verse 14, Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Are you looking at the psalm I'm talking about? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he says, he shall strengthen thine hand. Sorry, thine heart. Wait. I say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Find time to wait on him. And be of good courage. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Then he will strengthen your heart. Your heart that is getting weak in the faith. He will strengthen your heart. Wait. I say, wait on the Lord. We said to meditate means to ponder. To murmur, to imagine, to mourn, to mutter, to groan, and to sigh. when cows, goats, and other animals like that chew their grass for the first time. They go lay somewhere under a tree, they regurgitate it and chew on it again and swallow. When they so do, their bodies are able to work on it. And a female cow can have the grass transferred into pure white milk. There's a transformation grace. They don't have to worry about the color of the grass. There is a grace that is working upon them. Feed on the word. Eat the word. The prophet says, I ate the word. When he entered me, it was sweetness inside me. Times are tough. Businesses have been affected adversely by the wind of coronavirus. And when people have to give, they think twice. But you have a God who's bigger than the times in which you live in. Church, I say to you, fear not, neither be thou dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Israel, now under the leadership of Joshua, were to cross the Jordan, face the walls of Jericho, face the descendants of Anak. God told him, be strong and be of good courage. If you are sleeping, just sleeping, you won't be strong. If you are not studying the word, you are not meditating, you won't be strong. If you are not praying, you won't be strong. If you are not confessing the word, you won't be strong. You won't be strong. You know, sometimes what worries you is peanut for another person. Yeah.